was a great morning, wasn't it? It's wonderful to have God, when God speaks and God confirms His word to us, it's very encouraging. I believe we are in a special season as Word of Grace. We are reaching a tipping point where God is doing something. And in this season when God is doing something, I think He also wants to get our attention on something that's very, very important. If we have to sustain and contain what God is doing, we need what we're going to be looking at today. I'm going to continue in my series on John 15. There's so much in that passage. It's just amazing. What would you consider the greatest thing in your life apart from salvation? Think about it. Greatly, these are the most important things He wants to communicate to His disciples. He's saying, get this right. Hear me on this one. This is important. And what is it He's emphasizing in John 15? He tells them, I am the vine, you are the branches. And He says, remain in me. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Right? This was His emphasis. And then He goes on to say other things that are equally important. It's good to... Many people can talk about things that are important, but not have the right perspective. I'll give you one. I don't know how many of you are familiar with the Beatles. Yeah? You're familiar with the Beatles? The Beatles wrote a very famous song. There was just one line, and that one line got repeated. Anybody knows? The title of it was, All You Need Is... All you need is love, all you need is love, all you need is love. Love is all you need. They got that right, my friends. The Beatles were right. But how they went about that was a whole nother story, okay? It was the 60s and free love, and people were pushing the moral boundaries at that time. And their understanding of love was very different. But we are going to look, as Christians, what is our plumb line? It's the Bible, right? And everything we think and everything we do, we want it to line up with the Word of God. Not my opinion, not your opinion. What does the Word of God say? So our text for today is John chapter 15, verse 19 onwards to 14, to 17, 9 to 17. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in His love. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, we invite you this morning to come and just massage this word into our hearts, that we would understand why this was so important to you, Jesus. Help us to have a deeper understanding and deeper revelation of your love for us and our love for each other. In Jesus' name, amen. So we're going to look at love today. But the first thing Jesus does is that He reassures us of His love. He loves us as much as the Father loves Him. This is the most perfect, intense love ever. And before He could even ask the disciples to do anything, He first wanted to affirm them and assure them of His love. And Jesus says the same to us. You're going to work with me this morning. We have a whole lot of scriptures coming up in slide 5. Okay, Romans 5:8. Maybe we can say it together. But God demonstrated His love toward us in this, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Ephesians 1:4-5 says, For He chose us in Him before the creation of this world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ in accordance to his good pleasure and will. John 1 John 3:1 says, behold, what manner of love is this? Okay? That we should be called sons of God or children of God. 1 John 4:19 says, we love him because he first loved us. Did we do anything to earn his love? Because he loved us even before we knew him. He loved us even before we could do anything for him. So his love is not dependent on what I do or what I don't do. God's love for us is complete. Complete. Nothing more, nothing less. So we do not relate to him from a place of fear, neither do we relate to him from a place of performance. We relate to him from relationship, from a place of relationship and love. How do we do this? We need to stay close to him. He says, remain in me. Remain in me. Let my love remain in you. How do we do that? It's really very simple. We come back to this over and over again. It's your time, your alone time with Jesus. Stay in touch with him, my friends. There is no other way. How do you build friendship? Spending time. You have a cup of coffee with a friend. Take your cup of coffee, spend time with Jesus. The more you spend time with Jesus, you will see how your life changes and gets transformed. Jesus tells us about the Father's love for him and his own love for us. And Jesus says, obedience is an indication of love. Is obedience alone an indication of love? The Pharisees were very obedient. But Jesus spells out, it's not just being obedient. What are you being obedient to is what matters. And we'll see that in verse 12 and 13. It says, my command is this. Love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. You know, you'd have thought at the end of his journey, he'd have said, you know, go, do this, do that, conquer the nations, you know, raise the dead. Yeah, he gave them all those instructions. But now these are the last few hours before Gethsemane, and he's honing in on things that are of utmost importance. Remain in me, love each other. Just let that sink in for a moment. We're going to look at five C's this morning. The first one is the command to love. Jesus suddenly switches. You see, the first few verses up to verse 9, he's talking about remain in me, abide in me, no branch can bear fruit apart from me you can do nothing. And you think, that's it, that's right. Me and Jesus, that's great. And then suddenly he switches in verse 12, and he says, and I give you this command, love each other. And he switches from our relationship with him to our relationship with one another. Okay, so we have vertical and we have horizontal. What do you get? You know, you can't, my friends, the Christian life cannot be lived in one direction. It is both vertical and horizontal. It would have been easy if he just said, love me, right? Easy to love God. But then he asks us to love one another, and that's a different story altogether. And the test of our love for him and our obedience to him is in putting this command into practice, which is love each other. Some of us are very good at our communion with God. And please don't hear what I'm not saying. I'm not putting that down. It's good. It's good to have a good communion with God and our relationship and our connection with him. But Jesus challenges us to go further, and that is to love each other. Is it a suggestion? He says, this is my command, love each other. And some of us maybe sometimes are in the habit of neglecting this horizontal. And today, I put an encouragement before you. Let's work on this dimension, my friends, a horizontal love. Jesus says that we can't love God and hate our brothers. He uses strong language in 1 John. He says, he who says he loves God but hates his brother is a liar. And then he goes on to say, and the truth is not in him. Whoops. Wow. That must make me sit up. What's my love quotient like? What's my horizontal love quotient like? I need to stop and think about that. So we have a command to love. There is completeness of love. Why is love so important? Because God is love. God is a relational God. Do you know that God's love is mentioned 310 times in the Bible and 176 times in the New Testament? It must be important. We are made in His image, are we not? Yeah. There is great unity in the Trinity. The Father loves the Son loves the Father, the Holy Spirit is there, and they all love each other and they work in great unity together. We are supposed to be mirrors of that on the earth. Twice, when the audible voice of God was heard when Jesus walked on this earth, did he say, there's my son, look at how many people he's raising to dead, from the dead. How many blind eyes he's opening. What did he say? This is my beloved son, whom I love. Relationship and love was very, very important. Therefore, if Jesus says, all I need is love, then love is all I need. It's as simple as that. If all I need is love, then love is all I need. But sometimes we like to hide behind rituals, behind rules, religious duty, rather than invest in relationship. Relationship is costly. Relationship stretches us. Relationships challenge us. And some of us may ask, why can't I just come to God, to church, worship God, put something in the offering and go home? Is that not enough? If that were enough, then Jesus would have said, just love me and that's it. But there's the cause of love. Verse 12 says, love each other as I have loved you. That is the reason. That is the motivation. Love motivated the Father to send Jesus to die for us. He died a horrible death to save us from eternal damnation, to take our judgment upon him, right? So that we may not just go free, but that relationship that was broken in the Garden of Eden is once again restored. And we can have a beautiful commune with God. The cross not only restored our relationship with God, but it restored our relationship with one another. We are now able to love. Jesus said that the world will know that we are his disciples if we have love one for another. That must be important. It does not matter how much knowledge you have. It does not matter how many times you've read your Bible. It doesn't matter how many commentaries you've read. But if I don't know how much you care for me, it matters little. It matters little. When we know and we have experienced the love of God in a deep way, it changes our heart. and it enables us to love each other. 1 Peter 1:22 says, "Now that you have been purified you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth, so that you have sincere love for each other." It says, "Love each other." How? Deeply, 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 from the heart. Let's look at the composition of love. As I said, the Beatles knew all you need is love. But did they know what kind of love? We may know the right thing, but if we don't know how to do it, we could still get it wrong. So let's look at the Bible and let's see, what does the Word of God say to us? Verse 12, the second part of verse 12 says, "As I have loved you." How do we love? Not like the Beatles said, "As I have loved you." How did God love us? He demonstrated his love to us that while we were yet sinners, he sent Jesus to die for us. As I have loved you. It's a comparative statement. Okay, it's saying love to the degree that I have loved you. Love in the manner in which I loved you. How did God love us? How did Jesus demonstrate his love for us? It says in those last few hours in John chapter 13, it says he wanted to show them the full extent of his love. Therefore, he took off his outer robe. He wrapped himself with a towel. He bent down. And he did the lowliest of things. He washed the feet of the disciples. And then he said, "Go and do likewise." He said, "Greater love has no one than this." Then he laid down his life for his friends. So not only did Jesus serve us in the most amazing way, but then he showed the full extent of his love by dying on the cross for us. Is there anybody you and I would die for this morning? Think about it. Maybe for my kids, maybe for my husband. And I'm going to throw a bomb in this room and leave it. Is there anyone here that you will die for? I know. It's a challenge to me. It's a challenge to me. If push came to shove, God forbid, would I lay down my life for one of you? But that's exactly what Jesus is challenging us to. Isn't that amazing? So when we say, "Yeah, of course I love," how much? So my friends, we all have that love muscle needs to get stronger, needs to be stretched, needs to be challenged. I have been challenged in the last few weeks tremendously, tremendously. Especially when someone doesn't quite do things the way I want them to do or understand things the way I want them to. So what does it look like in day-to-day terms? Love is an action word. It's a verb. It's an action word. Feelings may accompany it. You got that? Love is an action word. Feelings may or may not accompany it. And that is the challenge when the feelings are not there. Love is a decision. I'm going to give you a little illustration. Maybe I'll come to it a little later. Today, young people think, you know, love is about the right mood, the right lighting, the right music, the right environment, and then I'm going to have some woolly feeling around me, and, you know, and that is love. No, my friends, love is when the going is tough. You say, "I am committed till death do us part." How many married here? Because I feel we are the ones most challenged. Would you agree? Yes. Anybody here don't agree with me? I am coming to you for marriage class. Okay? I think we get most tested because that's where you are most intimate and most vulnerable. And we've all been challenged. I don't think there's any one of us that has not gone through a rocky moment, and you are challenged to love in spite of. Will we try and put that into practice with one another? I think it's going to be great. Okay? Love is something we do for another person. It's not something we expect from someone else. 1 Corinthians 13 gives us the full definition of love. And every now and then it would be good for us to go back to that and say, on kindness, how am I doing from 1 to 10? On patience, how am I doing? On not keeping a record of wrong, how am I doing? On being rude, how am I doing? Am I being long-suffering? And so on. It's a good check for us. Love is not platonic, but it's wrapped in flesh and blood. Okay, I cannot isolate myself from the family of God and say I love God. That is a contradiction, as I've already said. Christianity is not just a personal faith, it is a corporate faith. It is lived out together. That is why our gym groups are important, and that is why today's brunch is important. You may think this is a gimmick. No, my friends, not a gimmick. This is to help forge friendship and love between each other. Now, if you've not registered for a brunch, you'll get an opportunity the next time. Next time we have a brunch, be sure to sign in. Okay? Do you know how many Bible verses there are on one another? Do you know some of the one another verses? The easiest one is love one another. Pray for one another. Submit to one another. Bear with one another. Admonish one another. Encourage one another. There are 59 verses in the New Testament alone. I'm giving you some Bible trivia. Just on one another. And if we had to make a list and see how many of those we put into practice, as my friend Karen says. Okay? That is why our tagline is important. Enjoying God, making friends, changing lives. The making friends is the loving one another. We've packed in the great command and the great commission in that, which is love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And the second is love your neighbor as yourself, which is the making friends. And then it says go into all the world, and that is the changing lives. Okay? So we're looking at making friends this morning. How can we get better at that? Love brings unity. You know, you can unite around ideology, cause, a common enemy, and all of that. You take any of that away and the unity disintegrates. But when you unite around love, no matter what happens, you'll stick together. You'll stick together. You may not agree on everything. Unity is not uniformity. It's agreeing to stand together no matter what, in spite of our differences, and sometimes even celebrating them. It's good to celebrate our differences. Love that demands agreement on everything is not love. That is control, it is manipulative, and often uses fear to get conformity. If you don't come to church, you'll go to hell. Rubbish. Okay? God woos us. It says in his loving kindness, he wooed us, or he drew us to repentance. His grace, my friends, his grace. It's not rules, it's not religion, it's relationship. Okay, let's get that in. We may never agree on everything, but in essentials, unity. What are the essentials? Jesus is the Son of God. Salvation in no other. Salvation by the sacrifice of the cross. Those are the essentials around which we unite. In non-essentials, liberty. You want to eat pork, you don't want to eat pork. I mean, not my monkey, not my circus, really. You know, don't eat or eat. Chill. But in all things, charity. Charity meaning love. Okay? In essentials, unity. in non-essentials, liberty, but in all things, love. Love, love, love. Okay? Do you want to be fruitful? We all want to be fruitful. Verse 16 says, you did not choose me, but I chose you to be fruitful. And it says, fruit that will last. You know, Jesus says he manages to intertwine everything. You can't disconnect anything. I am the vine, you are the branches. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Greater love has no man than this. And he laid down his life from them. You are my friends. It's all intertwined. He says, and fruit that will last. How will you get fruit? Obey my command. What is the command? Love each other. You can't disconnect any of it. Okay? So our love for each other is critical to us having lasting fruit. When I think about this, I think, you know, I see one of the toughest things for us as Christians is getting this one right. Relationships. We get disappointed, we get hurt, we get offended, we get ill-treated, we ill-treat, we abuse, we are rude, we cheat, we get cheated. Yes, amongst Christians. So how do we cope and what do? We all stumble on this thing called love. I know very few people who have left church because of doctrine, but I know more people who have left because of unresolved issues and hurt. Let us be a people who know how to resolve our issues and deal with pain. Many of us make the mistake of measuring Christianity based on how others live their life. How can she do that? She says she's a Christian. That's true. Just the way you don't toe the line in other things. You know, we can sometimes be very good at excusing our own imperfections, but we don't give others the same leeway. We need to look at God's word and see how do we respond in the face of conflict. And I feel, let us stop putting this heavy yoke on each other of perfection, because none of us are perfect. You know, we expect everyone to treat us right, while we give ourselves such a wide margin that we're off the page. Think about it. You know, crazy. Oh, no, I did, you know, because I had a cold. My head was paining. She may have had a headache that day too. You know? So let's be gracious, my friends. Word of grace, right? Let's be gracious. How will we get unity when we love and serve each other? There was this prison camp. There were two groups of prisoners, and one set of prisoners looked pretty happy and content, and the other prisoners were miserable. Do you think the others were being served biryani? No. Both were being given the same horrible gruel that they had to eat day in and day out. They were served in the same, from the same kind of pot and the same kind of spoons. You know what kind of spoons they had? Very long-handled spoons. Some of you know this example or the story. Imagine if the spoon has a handle that long and I put it into the thing. Will it come into my mouth? The soup or the gruel will go everywhere else but in my mouth. So how do you think we could solve this problem? If I took that spoon and I fed you, I can reach your mouth, right? And then he in turn fed the other and the other and the other. We all get fed, right? And that's what the happy group did. Whereas the others were still trying to feed themselves, and gruel was going on the head, on the back, and everywhere but in their own mouth. This is a picture, my friends, of how we need to love one another. Okay. So we looked at the command to love, the completeness of love, the cause of love, the composition of love, and now we're going to look at the cancer to love. What prevents us from loving? I'm giving you four, there could be many. Disconnection. Okay? when we are disconnected from one another. No branch that is not connected to the vine can survive, right? When you buy a bouquet of roses, how long does it last? Not too long, 3 days. But if it is still on the bush, rose bush, it's going to last a long, long time, right? Disconnection is one of the reasons why we fail to love. You know, Jesus in his wisdom, you don't know which branch you're connected to, which branch is feeding you the sap that comes from the main vine. Just think about that. Think about it. People don't care how much you know till you show them how much you care. And care can only be shown in a place of connection. The second one is disappointments. Unreal and unmet expectations. You know, we all carry around what I've called a spectometer. We know how to pick the speck from everybody's eye. We all have a spectometer. While we forget, we have a big, big oak tree jutting out of our eyes that is clouding our vision and clouding our judgment. And that blinds us. It blinds us. We can be looking with this spectrometer, this big magnifying glass that wants to look at, make every small problem in another person's life so big that we lose perspective. Isn't it? It blinds us. We need to remind ourselves of the grace of God upon his life, our lives, that he never treated us as our sins deserve. We have been forgiven much, my friends, much. We must think about this. How much God has forgiven me. So much, so much. That then I want to go and extract that pound of flesh from my brother. That is sad. We need to have a sober judgment of our own shortcomings and weaknesses. Because when we do, we are able to extend grace to each other. The third one is unforgiveness and offenses. This is a whole topic by itself. Books have been written on this. Okay? But unforgiveness and holding on to offense, you can't keep that in isolation. It is a cancer. It begins to affect everything you touch. We get bitter, we get cynical, we become untrusting of everyone slowly. It's a lens through which you will begin to look at all of life and you will begin to look at everyone. You will start drawing the wrong conclusions on different situations and people, and it will only bring more pain to yourself. You know, we have no choice on forgiveness, right? Because in the Lord's Prayer it says, forgive us our sins as we ourselves forgive each other. It says in Luke 11:14. And in Matthew 6:15, very sobering statement, it says, if you do not forgive other sins, the Father will not forgive you. Whoops. Do yourself a favor. Who? Do yourself a favor and let go and forgive. I know it is hard. I have been there. I have fought with unforgiveness and offense in different seasons of my life. When you wake up with the same thought, you sleep with the same thought. You wake up in the middle of the night, that's the first thought that comes into your head. I say, where did that come from? As I said, love is an action word. It is a decision. We stand in forgiveness. The last one I want to talk about in cancer of love is pride and self-seeking. You know, the disciples were jostling for power, for promotion, for prominence. You remember just before John 15, it was in John, you know, they were deciding who shall be the greatest, who will sit on the left and who will sit on the right. And their minds were all over the place. And that is why Jesus had to give them an object lesson by washing their feet. And say, no, you want to be great, you serve. When we come into a phase of growth like we are, we need love. We don't need competition. We don't need comparison. We don't need self-seeking. We don't need prominence. We don't need promotion. What is going to help us sustain revival? Abiding in Jesus and loving each other. Okay? Will you remember that? God is going to do amazing things in our midst. But at the end of the day, if we don't have love, we need to re-examine, do a little check. Okay? So let's, in conclusion, look at the thing I take away from. I have been with John 15 for a long time. I keep coming back to this chapter. And I realize that it's all about my relationship with Jesus and with each other, my fellow Christ followers. It's not about keeping rules and regulations. The Pharisees were very, very good at this, believe me. They knew how to count the last jeera and that's cumin, right? And dill. One by one they counted. Perfect, flawless, you couldn't fault them. But they did not understand a relationship with Jesus. That is why they didn't understand his compassion when he healed on the Sabbath. Okay, they wanted to bring down the Sabbath rules on his head. They didn't understand that it was love and compassion that moved Jesus. It wasn't about keeping rules. Religion can snuff out and replace relationships so subtly that we will fail to recognize that shift that happens in our hearts. And we need the Holy Spirit to keep us in check and keep us connected. I'm in the second half of my life, second innings. And the more I look at life, the more I realize actually it's the simple things. It's love, love God, love people. Love God, love people. Yes, there are many other things, but at the heart of it is these two things. Love God, love people. If I want to make an impact, if I want to leave a legacy of love, if I want to change culture, if I want to bring the kingdom of heaven here on earth, then all I need is love. Love is all I need. We need to love each other. In verse 17, Jesus winds up his thing and again he ends it. And this is my command, love each other. There is a great sense of urgency and if you just read it with heart, you'd hear Jesus saying, get it, my friends, get it. Love, love is, you don't know what's coming. There are evil days coming ahead after I ascend. Yes, I'm leaving my Holy Spirit who will be with you and empower you. But to sustain, you are going to need love. I am more convinced than ever that to stay connected to the vine is all about my relationship with God and my relationship with you, my friends, with you. Have I perfected it? Far from it. Far from it. Why do I keep coming back to John 15? Because I am being challenged by it all the time. How much do I love each one here? How am I demonstrating my love? And to end, let us all read this together. As Paul most eloquently put it in 1 Corinthians 13, we're going to read from the Message translations just so that it jolts our mind. We get too familiar with NIV, but when we read from the Message, it's going to hopefully come to us afresh. And let's just read together. If I speak with human eloquence and angelic ecstasy, but don't have love, I'm nothing but a creaking of a rusty gate. If I speak God's word with power, revealing all his mysteries and making everything plain as day, and if I have faith that says to a mountain, jump, and it jumps, but I don't have love, I am nothing. If I give everything I own to the poor and even go to the stake to be burned as a martyr, but I don't have love, I've gotten nowhere. So, no matter what I say, what I believe, and what I do, I am bankrupt without love. We can't do this on our own. We need the grace of God, which is empowering. It empowers us to do what is right. We need the Holy Spirit to empower us and to give us the strength. I think let's just take 5 seconds to just think about this. Pause. Pray. Ponder. What has my love quotient been? If you're saying, Holy Spirit, I need you to come and touch my heart, would you pour your love into me and help me to love the way you loved? You raise your hands to him this morning and we're going to pray together and say, we invite the Holy Spirit. My hands are up. I need all the help in creation. Holy Spirit, would you now come? Give us a fresh revelation of your love and the extent to which you love us and the extent to which you've lavished your grace upon us. And I pray in the weeks to come that we will get opportunities to express deep love to our brothers and sisters here. I pray that the bonds of love here will get stronger, will get deeper. And where we are struggling with love and we're struggling with offense and unforgiveness, help us to stand in the decision to let go and to forgive. I pray this in Jesus' name.